read today or make a little exercise with all of you today. I wanted to introduce to you a formula of improved reading, but now I'm seeing that so many devotees are still in the process of arriving. Then let me do at first the Bhakti Rasayana Shlokas. Kishori, I'm just seeing you. You are a little late, but you came, and we are extremely happy to have your association. Oh, no, she doesn't come up again. Kishori, can you please do the following? In the pause, can you just come to me? I need to tell you something for the devotees in Mayapur, yeah? Kishori and Madhva Muni will leave today early because they go to Shida Mayapur. And I think all our hearts will go with them. Right. Please take that with you. How old are you becoming? 27. Wonderful. Today is also the birthday of Radha Kripa, and I think we feel great happiness in our hearts that Radha Kripa was born, and we hope that she will not be born again. That would be a good thing. Let me just, I'm just looking here.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
We will now continue with our seminar. We will first hear about one verse about Krishna's cowherd boyfriends and how they performed their services for Lord Krishna. And we will later, after the pause, have some very interesting exercises on free writing, on prayer for reading, and so on. So let us start.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Saminiti Namine Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pachanine Nivesesa Sonyavadi Vaskatyade Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Kvachit palavatalpeshu niyotashramakarshita vriksha mulashraya shete gopatsangopabahanam padasamvahanam chakra kechitasya mahatmana aparehata papamano vyajanai samaj vijayan anyetat anurupani manogyani mahatmana gayantisma maharaja sneha klina dhyashanai. Sometimes Lord Krishna grew tired from fighting and lay down at the base of a tree, resting upon a bed made of soft twigs and buds, and using the lap of a cowherd friend as his pillow. Some of the cowherd boys, who were all great souls, would then massage his lotus feet, and others, qualified by being free of all sin, would expertly fan the Supreme Lord. My dear King, other boys would sing enchanting songs appropriate to the occasion, and their hearts would melt out of love for the Lord. We hear some of the services of the cowherd boys which they used to perform during the day. They would wrestle with Lord Krishna, different wrestle matches, and it would be very intense, the friendly wrestling. Sometimes they would part in two parties, and they would wrestle, and when there was a loser, the loser had to carry the party of the winner on their backs. And this, of course, was not so much liked by Lord Krishna. One time, his party lost the wrestling match. And Krishna said, "No, I don't want to carry anyone on my back. Please, today, allow me to not carry anyone." The other boy said, Why, Govinda? What is your reason?" "Well, I'm the son of the king of Braj." They said, "Just on the strength of your father having a few more cows, you think you don't need to carry? This is very bad logic. You must give another reason. If you don't carry anyone on your back, we will not play with you tomorrow." When Krishna heard these sentences, "We will not play with you tomorrow," he began to cry. He said, "No, please, always play with me. God, out of love, begs his devotees to give them his attention. Please play with me." "Yes," said the boys, "only if you abide by the rules and carry the opponent's side on your shoulders." "Not today," said Krishna. "Please, not today." "Then give a reason." Krishna was thinking very deeply, and finally it came out of his mouth, something which he usually doesn't say in Braj. "Well, I don't need to carry anyone because I'm God." "Oh, Govinda, you are," they said, "you are very truthful today. Can you give some proof that you are God, or are you just saying it like you say so many things in our friendly relationship. If you do not give a proof that you are God, you will have to carry. At this moment, Krishna, who was in a very big dilemma, said to his friends, well, okay, just close your eyes. So they closed their eyes. And then Krishna said, now open your eyes. So when they opened their eyes, they found themselves in Vishnu Loka, the Vaikuntha planets. And instead of seeing Krishna in his cowherd boy outfit, they actually saw him as the Lord of Narayana, of the Vaikuntha planets, with four arms, the Kostuba jewel, and a lock of hair called the, it's white, the Srivatsa. So the cowherd boys immediately understood, well, now we are in a problematic situation. He's on the throne and obviously he doesn't want to carry anyone. They say, all right. And then they began to glorify Krishna. Jayananda Yashoda Tula. They sang his praise. But they were interrupted by the Vishnu Dutas, who said, this is not the place to sing these folk songs. Please, some style is appropriate. Sing hymns of the Vedas. But they just called out from the distance, Gopal! Yes, because they saw their friend was surrounded with so many majestic people, kings, many saints, many reciters of Vedic hymns, top class brahmanas, and they felt they were very out of place. So then Lord Narayan said, don't worry, just close your eyes. So they closed their eyes again. And when Krishna said, open your eyes, they found themselves back in their Vrindavan, the divine playing ground of the Lord, which is full of sweet relationships and empty of Aishwarya, that is majestic opulences. So then Krishna also appeared there, and the cowboy said, okay, today you don't need to carry anyone, but tomorrow you absolutely need to carry. Krishna was, yes, was very willing to do this. So these cowherd boys would wrestle with Krishna, and sometimes Krishna would become tired when the friends of Lord Krishna, who loved him so much, saw that Lord Krishna was tired. They did everything they could to relieve his fatigue. They looked for a cool place where Krishna could lay down, and usually they would go at the bank of the river Yamuna in the sand, or if the Yamuna happened to be a little bit far away, they would find a particularly big tree who had a nice shade and lay down in the shade. At that time, the boys would take flowers and sometimes peacock feathers and grab them and would fan their friend. And Krishna was in this way happily laying down. They would also prepare beds for Krishna using soft twigs and then nice pupolnak, I think it's called, buds, which they put there. Some of the friends sometimes took very fine cloth and put it over the bed so that the twigs and everything would remain in shape and then Krishna would lay down. Now, because they were so willing to do service, they would offer their own laps as cushions for Krishna's head to rest on. Mm. Now, during these times, Krishna performed one of his miracles. Mm. Sanatana Goswami says, when a prime minister comes to a country, then everyone competes. I will garland him. No, I want to garland the prime minister. But so everyone wants to have a chance to serve. I also notice it here. All the devotees, there are about 5 devotees who take care of the washing, 5 devotees who take care of the prasadam. There's always a huge traffic around the prasadam because everyone wants to serve. Now, when Krishna saw the eagerness of his dear cowherd boyfriends to serve him, he thought in his mind, how can I accommodate these cowherd boys? And what he did is, he cleverly expanded himself in as many forms as there were cowherd boys. Mm. In this way, Krishna displayed his feature of being all-pervasive, that means present everywhere at the same time. At the same time, Krishna did not leave aside his appearance as the son of Nanda Maharaj. And in this way, by cleverly expanding himself, he allowed a huge crowd of cowherd boys to simultaneously massage him. Krishna now did this without any one of his cowherd boys noticing what he did. Because it is said, when you do something, a spiritual feat, when you do it in a secret way, then without anyone else noticing it, the benefit is higher. So Krishna did his expansion in so many forms as there were cowherd boys without any cowherd boy noticing it. Now this is a very, very interesting thing. When you do a spiritual activity, you should never ever do it for your own name, fame and glory. The moment you do a spiritual activity for your own name, fame and glory, you will not have the benefit of a spiritual activity, but only the benefit of an inflated false ego. For instance, if I do bhajan, and in the end I announce myself as a big bhajanero. I chanted so and so many rounds, I did this austerity and that austerity, the general mass of people will think, wow, wonderful. And at that time, the benefit of doing this will go to establish my position in this world as a big bhajanero. Therefore, devotees will always keep their spiritual activities hidden. Or, let me give you another example. Say, I have an nice amount of Lakshmi, and I give this this Lakshmi as a donation to the cows in Vrindavan, as an example. And everyone will say to me, you are a very, very qualified cow lover. You are so renounced, you give your donations, your hard-earned Lakshmi to the cows of Vrindavan. So there is some benefit for me because I'm praised and so on. But I will not get the benefit of the spiritual activity. Do you follow this point? It is so important when you do some spiritual activity, to not make a public spectacle about it. This is something I think we all feel this. For instance, when we sing for Krishna. Yesterday I talked with a very nice devotee about this. And the devotee told me, when I sing for Krishna, I sometimes don't even want to sing for Krishna, because then everyone comes to me and says, "You sing so nice, you sing so nice." And then I feel that my ego accepts this. Yes, I sing very nice. Why not? I have a good voice and deep bhakti in my heart. It is a fact. Finally, they see the truth. It is about time that the veil of ignorance leaves these devotees, these poor devotees, and see the actual fact and so on. And we know when this happens, we have this feeling, one side in us likes it, that's a false ego, and the other side has a feeling something is wrong here. Isn't it? When we praise, for instance, Bhakti Nevana, Nevana, your management is the combined management of Apple Computer, Macintosh, and IBM. It is as qualified. Then one side in you will think, yes, I'm after all a highly talented person. But another side says, no, please don't say all these things, because you feel how the benefit of the spiritual activity is stolen away from you. And you feel, no, I want to keep it. I don't want to that this is stolen away. Don't we feel like this? We have a good feeling and a bad feeling simultaneously. So, Hare Krishna, welcome. Thank you for coming. Krishna here teaches us that although he is God and he can expand himself in these million forms, he does not want others to know about it. He does it in a secret way. And therefore he is in this verse called Mahatmana, a great soul. this is very good, a good thing. Now, I want to raise a very important question. Do you think Krishna became tired after wrestling? Do you think he needed a bed to lie down? No. We know that on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Grandfather Bhishma pierced the Lord's body with sharpened arrows. But Krishna was not disturbed, because his body is transcendental. He never feels wounds, he never feels tiredness, he doesn't feel any need like we have. But because Krishna wanted to have a loving relationship with his cowherd boys and give them the opportunity to serve them, therefore, Lord Krishna, when he saw that the cowherd boys were there, pretended to feel sleepy and then expanded himself in the many forms to sleep on the many laps of his cowherd boyfriends. So at that time, the cowherd boys would all perform their services and massage his lotus feet, and others would fan the Lord. Still another group of devotees, they would begin to sing songs for Lord Krishna. They sing with their hearts melted in affection. And they sing songs which are suitable for the nap time of the Lord. Nap times mean male sleep. Male. How do we see nap? Say nap? Yes. So, what were suitable songs? Well, there were general songs which praise devotional service. But they were also about Krishna's pastimes with the gopis. Madhumangal and Subal could sing as sweet as Krishna. How sweet does Krishna sing? He sings like a cuckoo in the spring season. When there's spring season, then the flowers have little buds, and these buds are eaten by the cuckoos, and the buds make the voice extremely sweet, and then the cuckoo sound is so sweet that other cuckoos are listening, the female cuckoo are listening and thinking, wow, this is a very good and artistic singing, I will fly near this particular cuckoo and appreciate his singing from the close distance. And so Krishna sings also very sweet, and Madhumangal and Subal could sing very sweet. If you sing for Lord Krishna, you must learn from the cowherd boys how to sing. You should sing songs which are appropriate to the occasion, and you should sing with your hearts full of affection. Your voice may not become as sweet as a cuckoo, but anyways, our material voices are not really so sweet. It's just some loose skin flapping in the throat, clack, 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 clack. And we call this a sweet voice. This is tasteless to call this a sweet voice. But what can be sweet in the lives of a conditioned soul is his affection, or it's called sneha, love, which he offers to Lord Krishna. About singing, it is important to sing in the proper ragas. Narada Muni once was not able to sing very nicely, so he went into one town and he sang a few songs. When he sang, he heard terrible screaming, clung, 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 clung. Bones were breaking. And after some time, some people who had broken bones came to him and said, "Stop singing, please. You break our bones." "What?" said Narada Muni. "Yes, you don't know to sing the proper ragas and raginis. But we are here in this is the town of ragas and raginis, and you have broken us." "Ah, my shoulder's broken." "Oh," said Narada Muni, "Shvinideva, I didn't know that I have broken you by my singing. What should I do?" You must learn the ragas, Narada Muni. It's important, otherwise you always break us. Go to Saraswati, the wife of Lord Brahma, she will teach you. And then come back and restore us to life. So Narada Muni said, "Uradnu, Uradnu." She went to Mother Saraswati and learned Sagari Manisa, Sari Magina Sa, whatever. I don't know. I should also not sing really. I will break the poor ragas into pieces. So when he came back, he was a master of singing, and he cured the ragas and raginis. As funny this little story may sound, it is true that we should also learn to sing the proper tunes. Prabhupada would, in the morning, for instance, interrupt a devotee who sang Sangsara in a different tune. He said, "In the morning, you should sing the morning tune." The morning tune of Sangsara is Sangsara davana dalida loka tranaya karuna gana ganatvam. It's good if you leave the melodies as they are, because it shows respect towards the ragas, who are also servants of Krishna. So anyways, these cowherd boys could sing so nice because their hearts were melting with bhava for Lord Krishna. And when they sang, Krishna became grave, he closed his eyes, and he felt deep prema. In fact, when hearing the wonderful songs of his devotees, Krishna was very, very moved, and he could not get up. When he heard the songs of his devotees, tears began to roll down from his closed eyes and went like pearls, fell to the ground. Yes. This teaches us that when we sing, we should really sing for Lord Krishna. If we do so, Krishna will listen to us and maybe a tear of appreciation will glide down his face. This would be the perfection of our singing, Nikonya Rasa, isn't it? There is also a lesson from this. Love for Krishna arises from executing loving devotional service. But most easily, the love for Krishna appears when we sing songs which are dear to Krishna. Have you noticed when we sit down and we sing songs which are dear to Krishna, the most easy Krishna consciousness happens. For instance, a song which is very dear to Lord Krishna is Yashomati Nandana Brajabaranagara Gokula Ranjana Kana Yashomati Nandana Brajabaranagara Gokula Ranjana Kana. When you sing like this and you know the meaning of the song, this is very important to know the meaning of the song and not just sing some nice song, you will feel in the heart love for Krishna appearing. Do you know that Srila Prabhupada, whenever he had a free moment, he would take the harmonium? We always had to put a harmonium in his room. It was a necessary item of the furniture of Prabhupada's room. It's highly necessary. And he would then sit before the harmonium and he would sing. Many unedited bhajans are existing where you see Prabhupada or hear Prabhupada in his room singing his heart out to Krishna. It's very beautiful. He would very often pause in his daily life and he would sing one song, Krishna Tvadiya Padapankaja Panjarantam Adyeva Vishatume Manasara Jahansa Prana Prayana Samaye Kapavatu Pittai Kanta varo vadam vido smaranam kutaste. Oh, my dear Lord, he would sing, let the swan of my mind dive and play with the stems of your lotus feet. My dear Lord, I will die, and at the time of my death, mucus will come up my throat. And then what can I sing? I cannot sing very beautifully then. Therefore, let me die immediately, singing this song for you. Prabhupada would sing such songs with great devotion. You will see, if you also learn these songs and sing them, the feelings of the Vaishnava acharyas who wrote these songs will enter your hearts. You should have your songbooks and nice song collections And then you should sing sometimes here, there, and so on. And the singing will definitely reach Lord Krishna. It is the easiest form to make, to feel love of Krishna, because these songs have such power to bring this love in your srdce. Do you want to hear how the cowherd boyfriend sang for Krishna? It is like this. I quote this. While singing for Krishna's pleasure, his friend's heart melted in the intensified prema which the songs inspired. They sang softly, their voices choking with tears of ecstasy. Thus, they felt more and more love, and their hearts dissolved in the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. So we will hear now again this verse. Sometimes Lord Krishna grew tired from fighting and lay down at the base of a tree, resting upon a bed made of soft twigs and buds, and using the lap of a cowherd friend as his pillow. Some of the cowherd boys, who were all great souls, would then massage his lotus feet, and others, qualified by being free of all sin, would expertly fan the Supreme Lord. My dear king, other boys would sing enchanting songs appropriate to the occasion, and their hearts would melt out of love for the Lord. Hare Krishna. Wonderful, isn't it? These are little scenes from the Srimad Bhagavatam about Vrindavan, and I think it is very important to hear them so that our hearts become softened by the bhakti which the residents of Vrindavan feel for Krishna. It is highly inspiring for us, isn't it? I want to just see now. This is very good. Now we will make a little pause. This time it will not be 15 minutes but only 10 minutes because I have something very interesting in mind. Bhakta Boyane, you will be our pause maker. I want to request all of you to come punctually after these 10 minutes. Or 10, why not? We are here, it is so nice. 15 minutes. 15 minutes is all right. Yes. And please come. It's very important that you come punctually, because we will start immediately and it will be a very interesting session. We will leave the nectar a little bit aside. No, this nectar, Bhakti Rasayana nectar, we leave aside to dive into some totally different nectar. You will be totally surprised. And you all need to bring notes. This is very important. Your notebook or a piece of paper. Those who have no piece of paper, they can ask Bhakta Boyan. He has a book where you can take paper off. Yeah. Oh, it's full. Here, our Nanda Dulal has even bigger paper. Yes. So, see you in 15 minutes. Hare Krishna. So, Hare Krishna, Shyama Priya, please come on your sitting place. I think we all, when we were hearing about these things about Lord Krishna. We felt some happiness in our heart. Now I would like to teach you something which is very useful for your future reading. There is a reason why Srila Prabhupada requested us to daily read in the books of the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. When you read in spiritual literature, you are becoming elevated in Krishna consciousness. The spiritual literature is of a total different world than your own thoughts, your own problems, your own concerns. I think this is why we enjoy to hear so much about Krishna's world, because it's a carefree world. It's a world which is beyond ours, and it invites us to go there. So daily you should try to visit this literature. I know that most of you do not read daily, and most of you are thinking, well, how will it be possible? I'm so very busy to read. Now, for those of us who feel like this, and I think it is many, and I can sympathize, I would like to offer to you a method of reading which will very quickly bring you on the spiritual platform. See, we all know when we read sometimes, and then these passages come with the 14 Manus and their children, and maybe the exact a description of the material universe, we go like, oh. And we really are not, we can force ourselves, but I think Syama Priya, you can only force yourself for 2 minutes and then you lost the battle, because it is so difficult to get some inspiration out of this. So by the method which I would like to give to you is, it's a method of reading which allows you to associate very quickly with Lord Krishna. There are a few steps, and I want to see who is a good writer. Saleh, please come, and I will write to you the points. We will discuss what is prayer for reading. Of course, the easiest would be if I can take this thing and write it myself. The first step is you read until something touches you. Read until something touches you. First step. Oh, very good, Sally. Very read something. No, read until something touches you. Yes, until something touches you. At this moment, this is a second step. You should stop. You should until something. Oh, I know. Touches, not teaches. Oh, yeah. No, but then someone has to translate it. Touches you. Very good. Then the second step is stop. Th- third step is read it again. Read it again. And the third step is reflect about it. Reflect. Reflection. Now the state of reflection. Oh, he has a very tired energy at the moment. We need to open the windows quickly. Sanatan, save us. our devotees are... Yes, you are the kind friend of all. So, reflection.
I will... Thank you. Remain here.
This is the last... with prayer. Thank you very much, Sally. Your writing is very good. Please, you can now sit down. When you do this method, you open a book, maybe at a place where you know that it is very nice, and or maybe even when you don't know it's where you don't know it's very nice, and you read something until you really feel you have a point which touches you, which speaks to you directly. Then don't continue to read. But stop. Most of the time when we read something, we feel like, do you know this? You're on page 24 and you go like, oops, 53 pages. This is inhuman. So many pages still to leave. A person who reads like this is not reading the content, but he just wants to finish pages. It's a passionate reading. Reading in the mode of passion. Do you know this? No, you should read to be connected with Lord Krishna. To have this in your mind, a higher connection. Then read it again so that you are sure that about what you have read, and finally reflect about it so that it goes very deep into your heart. When you just read, the danger is it goes into your awareness and then out of your awareness again. Especially when you have what is called an information overload. Yes, information overload. This is Ganga Mayi, you have to find the right. Too many informations and we can't digest them. This is an information overload. So read, reflect about this. What does it say? What is really Prabhupada saying? What does it mean? And how does this apply to my life? And then end with a prayer. I want to request you now to come up here and take books from Srila Prabhupada. We have a few books here. Take what you like. And then I will request you to apply this method now. We will read for 15 minutes. We will read in this room, but if you feel, oh, I need to go a little bit outside, you can also read outside or so. But after 15 minutes, you have to come back again. And it would be nice if you could share with the group what has touched you when you were reading it and with what you were working. Yes? So please come now. Take the book of your choice. There are not so many titles. Maybe we can ask some of you who come to come up here. We will give them the microphone. Maybe even a Stolitzer. We can arrange a Stolitzer here. And you could share one very nice point which you read in Prabhupada's books with the others. So that we... Okay. So maybe it's better, even I think some of you will not feel happy on the Stolitzer. You can sit here next to me and then speak in the microphone that everyone can hear you. Is there a point which you would like to share? I think Bhakti Granta, you always are my example of enthusiasm. You can just find and share with us in 5 minutes, huh? What you, not longer than 2 or 3 minutes, what, please explain, please everyone listen, what it was that inspired you, and then why did it inspire you, and how can you apply it in your life? If the last question is too private, you don't need to talk about it. Mm-hmm. So, we will ask a few of you to come. Actually, I will not ask you. You should point your... And please not... not that this is not now the chance for you to give a 1-hour lecture. but only 5 minutes and on the subject matter. Prabhupada's point and how it touched you. Yes? So, we will give a full applause to Bhakti Granta Prabhuji. Haribol.
Srila Prabhupada first writes about the people when they go to the moon. And that touches me because when Srila Prabhupada talks about modern scientists, how they should apply water to India, instead they go to the moon and bring the dust from there, or to other planets to bring more dust from there, tons of dust, like he said in the purport, losing their money, and instead of that they can all that money use in the they can use for India to make the system of
irrigation,
yes. And that touches me, and then I stop in that purpose, and I thought the next thing, I read it again some few times, and I thought, what does Srila Prabhupada says? Srila Prabhupada says that person lose all his intelligence when he wants to satisfy his wishes, which is not necessary at all. And that means that they lose time in this world. And to my life, I think when I lose the whole day, so useless, instead of reading, chanting properly, and serve nicely the devotees. And in the end, I thought of that my prayer is not to be like that, scientist, losing time to dedicate my whole life to, and to dedicate my whole life to serve devotees and Guru and Krishna. And in the end, I wanted to say that once I read in the Srila Prabhupada Nectar from His Holiness Atsarupa Maharaj, when one of his devotees, Srila Prabhupada's devotees, was so convinced in that scientists go to the moon. And that was very interesting to me because he was so convinced that in one day he asked Srila Prabhupada, do you believe that scientists go to the moon? Srila Prabhupada said just simply, no, they didn't went to the moon. And he was he accepted some like that, but he, after some time, I think 1 hour or so, he again asked, and Srila Prabhupada again in same mood answered, no, they didn't go to the moon. And in the afternoon, I think that he cooked for him, and he brought the TV in his room, and he said, now you will see that they, for sure, they went to the moon. And he put the video, and Srila Prabhupada peacefully was sitting down and looked all the video. And now that devotee was so enthusiastic and said, now you see, they went to the moon. And Srila Prabhupada said, no, they didn't went to the moon. And then the next day, that devotee left the temple, and he didn't stay in the temple, because he was not so convinced in Srila Prabhupada's words. That's all.
Thank you very much.
I'll try to paint the picture. It is said that God is always good, and this is the truth. No matter if he is cheating or nagrajuje, awarding, he is always good. And next thing, and the most sweet verse in universe, Tateno kampam susumikshamana yop. And he said, Prabhupada said, Bhakta is accepting a punishment which the God gave him as the biggest mercy. And then I was trying, and immediately I connected that with my life. And then I thought, he said, first he cheated me, because I never wanted to become a devotee. And my mother always was trying to make a good Christian girl from me, but she was not very successful. And but then I met Guru Maharaj, so somehow I changed my mind. And I became a little bit attached to Krishna. And then Krishna gave me a lot of punishment, which I'm forced to accept as his biggest mercy. So this is, I feel like, my lifelong lesson, that God is always good.
Thank you very much. Bravo! When you do this type of reading, there is a very simple formula which can help you to go deeper into the literature, and I want to write down this formula for you so that you can get most of out of Srila Prabhupada's books. I think, did you all feel that in this 15 minutes you have read something, you have found something which was interesting for you? Yeah? You found? Mm-hmm. Maria? Yeah?
Yeah.
Good. Now, when you read, there is a simple formula which will help you to make most out of your reading. And I think this time I will write it down myself to be sure. What do you think could be the right attitude? Humility. Mm-hmm. Iskrinost. Mm-hmm. Vera. Yes. Tolerance? To learn. Yes. To meet Krishna. To try to understand the philosophy as it is. It's very important when you approach the books of Prabhupada that you have the right attitude. You must know that just like a river always flows from up to down, knowledge can only flow when you put yourself into the right attitude of learning, of understanding, and so on. Otherwise, knowledge will, the books will not work. For instance, if you want to enjoy, like you want to enjoy a novel, you open Prabhupada's books and you will close them after some time. For instance, some of us like very much stories. I do not know if you are also like this. And all what we read were novels and Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn. And what do we read? And The Queen Who Lost Her Kingdom and Found It Again, or Fairy Tales. Or Sita, what did you read? Many things. Novel. And then we open and we find no story and we, oh, Ishwinite, it's all right. We put the book aside. No, the attitude is very important. You are now coming to a professor of spiritual science and you have to learn something. It's very important. Don't we sometimes want to learn something in our lives? I think we all feel that, oh, I must get to know something. This attitude. Our Natalia was reading, was remembering that godbrother of mine, I think his name was Purushottam Das, who just didn't surrender to Prabhupada's vision, and he had a problem. I once explained, I believe in Split it was, that when we meet the pure devotee and his worldview, and it comes in our worldview, there will be a clash. He thinks so entirely different than we do. And if we are not surrendered, we will not even be able to understand what he is saying. We will immediately say no. I saw in Germany, when Prabhupada gave a lecture once, it was in Bad Homburg, there was a person who just somehow didn't like the whole program, and his unwillingness came out when he said to Prabhupada, but this is self-hypnosis. This is chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. It is self-hypnosis. This is not good. Prabhupada immediately confronted him and said, no, this is self-purification. You need to get the dirt out of your brain. So if you do not come to Prabhupada in a mood of surrender, you will object, what, the dirt of my brain? I have a very good brain. There's no dirt in my brain. My brain is extremely chesty. So, surrender. Be ready to be confronted with a new worldview and at least could surrender. The next thing is, like Bhakti Granta Prabhu was enlightening us, my dear Lord, please help me so that I come on the spiritual platform. If you do this every day, do your put your attitude right, put your surrender right, your humility and hope, you will really make something nice out of your reading experience. But if you just do this passive reading, which most of us do, or this gathering of information, I need an information because I'm asked to give a lecture and I should read now a little bit to get some points, you will not have a very deep spiritual experience in your reading. I was explaining the first A as meaning attitude. It can also mean something else. And I usually take this one. Association. Lifetime. Association means you take some association. I usually take up Prabhupada's books in that mood of I want to hear something from him. I want to be connected with him. I'm his disciple after all, and I should have something from him which moves my sritta, my heart. So this association is very, very good. Prabhupada said before he left us, you can find me. Yes, you can find me. He was on his deathbed. You can find me in my literature. So that's why when we read, we want to have association with Srila Prabhupada. What do you think, Radha Kripa? For sure. Let me see now if you have any questions regarding this. We had these 2 points. Ivana, would you care to just take the first page and hold it so that devotees can look over it? I think you have to go scratch. Yeah. Yes. Is this method clear to you? Bhakti Garantaji.
I want to ask Maharaj, during the reading, when you want to ask me what is the difference between what does it say and what does it mean, and I can explain.
What is the difference between what does it say? When what does it say, you just read for content. What does Prabhupada really say here? And then when you ask, what does it mean, you begin to open. First you focus, and then you open, and find out what is related to this point. For instance, when you hear a simple sentence, we are not the body, it says we cannot be identified with our physical structure. Now when it says when we asked what does it mean, we reflect about it and we say, well, it means I really have nothing much to do with the ordinary life which I live. The simple sentence, I'm not the body, is really Prabhupada's way of saying, Aham Brahmasmi, I'm a spiritual soul. But he was feeling, if he just says, I'm a spiritual soul, most people will not be able to relate to it so nicely. So he expressed it, I'm not the body. This is an explanation. This is the meaning of this. Yeah. Krishna. So we will now. Any other questions? I'm sorry, I was a little bit too fast. Do you see the benefit of this reading? You go deeper into the text and you begin to associate with Prabhupada. The text all of a sudden, which used to maybe be a closed house for you, becomes a house with a door through which you can go and see the staircases, the sleeping rooms, the living rooms, the kitchen, and the bath, and so on. Yes.
How we should read those parts, for example, Srimad Bhagavatam, which you mentioned, where it's described like these menus, families, or
feel somehow it doesn't have so much connection with us, and in this way our mind, my mind easily becomes like boring and doesn't
yeah. To hear that. Yeah. Well, there are really two states of the reader. One is the reader, sometimes we are in the state where we can assimilate information, just inform ourselves. Another state is, and I find myself very often in this state, is I want to have personal spiritual inspiration and guidance when I read. So when you are in that mood of wanting to have personal inspiration and spiritual guidance, then you just can't switch into the, oh, let me see what is there in the scripture. but you have a need which needs to be fulfilled, almost like a little... like a child who is hungry. He has a hunger, and the hunger needs to be fulfilled. So you need to do something to fulfill that hunger. So in that, when you are in this modus, when you come to the Manus and the creation of the universe, you should say, I leave this for later, when I just scan more or less, or begin to understand what is in the Bhagavatam, all the subject matters. And you go to a chapter like for instance, prayers of Queen Kunti. Krishna leaves Hastinapur, and Queen Kunti stops him, he's already on his chariot, he's ready to leave, and Queen Kunti just asked him, addresses him with heartfelt prayers. This is so different. Now, I personally believe we should fulfill our needs in Krishna consciousness, but we should also submissively read the entire Bhagavatam. What I always do is I ask myself the question, why is this in the Bhagavatam? And there are certain reasons why this is in the Bhagavatam, and when I connect myself with these reasons, it becomes easy and sometimes even very interesting to read. See, Nikunya Rasa, Shukadev Goswami is explaining to Parikshit about these dynasties. And in explaining this, he has a certain purpose. Parikshit Maharaj knows or has heard about all these families. And he is now in the process of leaving his body. In a few days or hours, he will leave the body. And Parikshit and Sukadev Goswami now tells him, don't be so sad that you have to leave the body, because all those who came here, the dynasty of Maharaj Uttanapad and so on, came for some time and afterwards left. In other words, he wants to tell him others have also died. It's almost, imagine you are on the deathbed and you are a little bit afraid. So if someone comes and says, Nikunya Rasa, your father has left, your grandfather has left, and your different forefathers who belong to the Bogomiln, if that is true, Bogomiln, then they have left. You feel some solace, okay, it seems to be natural that I also will leave. So, by understanding the overall picture, you usually can get patience to understand the small picture. This is a general rule in life. And the Bhagavatam, for instance, when it speaks about the creation, it gives us what is called Sambandha Gyan, an understanding of the place we are living in and how it functions. And for instance, when I read the Bhagavatam, these particular parts, I think you have detected that I'm also not a technical brain. Then I begin to understand the glory of Krishna's creation and how we really don't have so much choice in this world, but we are moved by the powerful material energy around us who works according to these principles which are discussed. Also, you know, to read about how Lord Vishnu breathes out the universe and breathes them in, it makes you quite detached when it comes to good shoes and good clothes and whatever little small things our minds is attached to. It is so small time in comparison to the bigger picture. Hare Krishna. Yes, any other question? Gaura Hari.
I just remarked that when I did this work, I completely forgot the last point, the prayer.
Yeah.
Also in the presentation, I could not
hear about prayer. Yeah.
How much is it important?
How much is the prayer important? A prayer is a way of connecting personally with Krishna. My dear Lord, I am your servant, I have fallen into the world. It's a very personal connection with Lord Krishna. And it makes your reading session, where you after all associate with Krishna and with Prabhupada, it gives it a very personal dimension. You connect very much with Krishna. I believe the reason why we didn't find it in the presentations and the reasons why we also don't hear so often about this prayer in while reading, because after all, prayer is a very personal, or should we even say intimate affair, and we may not feel comfortable to share it with everyone. But prayer, if you look at prayer, let us make a step back and forget that we are Hare Krishnas for a moment, if we can. It's difficult, but see, what do we try to obtain in what we do? We try to obtain a state of absorption. And there's nothing better, really, than absorbing, than praying. Oh, my dear Lord, please help me to realize this point in the Shastra. It is so personal and so absorbing. So I think for this reason, prayer is very important. It helps us to absorb and be with Krishna. But I must admit, this end with prayer point, I'm also not doing every time I'm reading. This morning, I prayed because I had just read something very, very nice. I read how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would visit the devotees in Jagannath Puri, and he would always be associated with Gadadhar Pandit. So there was one devotee called Paramananda Puri who was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. Therefore, he was a god-brother of his spiritual master, Ishvara Puri. So he met a god-brother of his spiritual master when he saw Paramananda Puri, and he became so happy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu paid his most humble obeisances to Paramananda Puri, and Paramananda Puri felt very I mean, how can he pay an obeisances? He's God. And he also paid his obeisances. So then, Paramananda Puri, he chanted and gave lectures in Puri. So Lord Chaitanya came one day by, and he asked him, Paramananda Puri, how is your well? A well is very important for a sadhu because he gets all his water from there. And Paramananda Puri said, my well is not very good. It is the incarnation of mud. There is so much mud and we can't drink the water very nicely. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt so happy about Paramananda Puri that he prayed to Lord Jagannath, my dear Lord Jagannath, please arrange that Mother Ganga, who flows in the Patala regions, comes here out and fills the well of Paramananda Puri with sweet drinking water. Hare Krishna. It was evening, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the Vaishnavas went away from Paramananda Puri, and also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went away to take some rest. In the morning, some Vaishnavas came back to Paramananda Puri, and they looked into the well and saw it was crystal clear water. And when they drank the water, they actually tasted sweet Ganga water. They immediately called Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, look, a wonder has happened to the well of Paramananda Puri. The water, who used to be muddy and undrinkable, has turned into Ganga water. Mahaprabhu quickly came. He drank the Ganga water and then he took a bath with the Ganga water. And he exclaimed, my dear devotees, anyone who drinks this water of Paramananda Puri's Bruna, Bunar, yes, this is also nice. Who drinks the water of the Bunar, he will get pure love of Godhead. So I was reading this, and then I was remembering, a few years ago, I went there with Shrishtikata, and Madhavananda, and Madhva Muni, and Kishori, and with great faith, we all drank that water, isn't it? Although usually you do not drink water from a Buna because you feel then you need to come to the Tropical Institute for intense treatment. you know. But we drank that water with great faith and we felt enlivened in our Krishna consciousness like anything. So I remember this. So then I continued reading, when I was a little bit reflecting about this, what it means, and I remember then there came a verse, who cannot feel gratitude to the Lord, who is so kind to his devotee, that he saves his buna? You know, who could not feel gratitude to Lord Chaitanya, so nice to it is so personal to somehow make the well water sweet. And I was thinking, oh my dear Lord, I'm also so happy. I'm now in the best situation of my life. I like nature very much and the air is just intoxicatingly good. And we had such a nice Nam Yagya. And yes, I'm allowed to serve the devotees by discussing Krishna Katha. I am so grateful to you, my Lord. And then I said, please, my Lord, please always engage me in your service and change my buna. My buna is my heart. Buna? Bunare. Bunar. please change my heart and make it sweet with Gangava. And I prayed like this because it was such a personal situation, you know, the Lord coming to Paramananda Puri, and Paramananda Puri has everything is all right in his life except for his Buna everything is all right, and he changes that Bunara makes it Ganga water. I thought it's so nice. Yes. But not always we can pray. Yes, what is your good name? Prema Harinam, wonderful. You must have been happy yesterday, Prema Harinam Prabhu. Yes.
We see sometimes devotees read Sanskrit, for example, we see Gita Jayanti, they read the Sanskrit, and we see great enthusiasm and we get it to the life just by reading.
Yes.
Like
yeah.
Also want a veil for me to get it.
Oh, yes. Prema Harinam is reminding us to read the Sanskrit and get also some... Yes. Yeah. It's nice if we can learn the different ways to sing the Sanskrit and get into it. Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you for. Mm-hmm. Any other question? Dionysus? Yes, it is a very good example, a very good attitude to learn from the example of devotees. It is said that devotees learn actively and the Shastras learn passively. When you read the Shastras, the information is there. You can do with it whatever you wish. When you meet a devotee, by his life's example, it's almost, wow, it's a reality, because he is what he is, there must be, because Prabhupada is the way he is, there must be a Krishna, isn't it? It is very, very actively, the example speaks to us and teaches us. So, I think the Shastras are sometimes like describing rain, and the devotees is, they make the rain happen, fall down in our lives. It's an active teaching. The devotees bring Krishna consciousness, or Krishna, or request Krishna to come from his platform into our lives. Therefore, you need absolutely a devotee who prays for you. Dionysus, it is very important that the devotees pray for us, and because Krishna will follow his devotees. The devotees will bring Krishna actively in our lives. Yeah. All right. Shyama Priya. Yeah.
But very often I just see how I'm dull and nothing is coming. Five times I'm reading one sentence and I don't see nothing. It's just everything is closed. And then many times it made me so discouraged while I was reading, because I thought there is no chance for me. It's so high and I'm so covered. And I thought, what is causing that switch
The switch from the state of non-surrender to surrender is either two. There are two switches. One is, you see, there is no other chance for me. I must surrender. I have no other hope. And the other is, you voluntarily do it. Most of us will first come into a situation where we really helpless and where we really want to have help. Yeah. Thank you, Nirvana. We switch now. Yeah. Dionysus, you might feel encouraged to open the window a little, but keep the beautiful poster. No, you can open, yes. Or is it too cold for you? No. Good, yes. So you surrender happens either because there is no other choice. I surrender. Like the soldiers in the war front. You know, like my father told me, when finally the Allied forces had surrounded all the remaining Germans before Stalingrad. He was one of the few survivors. They understood. Now the German dream is over. We have to surrender. And they all put a white flag up. We surrender. You can see this is the family I come from. Last minute surrender. Just imagine, the whole world thought these Germans are crazy. They want to rule the whole world. We don't agree with them. There are so few. But they needed, the whole elite forces came and said, stop or we all shoot you down. And then they said, no other chance. This is one reason why you surrender. The other is out of voluntary commitment to Lord Krishna. Krishna is wonderful. I surrender. It's better you don't wait for the last minute. You save yourself a lot of pain, Shyama Priya. Bring your white flag out earlier. This is called practical spiritual life, isn't it? Mahaprabhu Kirtana Nitya Gita.
How much is helping us, you can say, to distribute this knowledge? The Shastra said it, and Bharat, who is not giving further this knowledge, is like accumulating water in a pot.
Yeah. Well, this is a very interesting point Mahaprabhu has asked. I want to write to you a three-step which I feel you should do every day in your life. Do you need to remain there? Becoming tired after some time. First process. Which you should do every day is Shravana. The second is Manaha. Third is Nidhyasana. Manaha means reflecting. When you just hear something, it comes in and goes out. But if you have the art of reflection here, then you hear something, you reflect, and goes into your heart. Siamo qui. Please reflect now, not on your life of unsurrender, but here. You could see, Siamo Priya was just thinking. You were reflecting about what you had heard, or maybe the picture, about what you have heard. So everything was going right into her heart, and she felt very ecstatic because she will surrender very soon. So here comes the next step, Nididhyasan. It means application. Gangamayi, what is application? Yes. Application. Now, these are the three things which everyone who wants to learn something must do. But it's all right. I think it's all right now. Now I will ask the question. Do you think you can learn everything by these three steps? The answer is no. You must also pray. And ask for the mercy. Otherwise, you will not understand. Nasi dragi gospodin. Please bring this knowledge in fruition to me. You know how Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami had heard so much from Lord Chaitanya? And then they said, please empower us now by putting your lotus topola on our head. And they put the lotus topola down, and Mahaprabhu stepped on the head. What a nice way. Imagine a Nigunya Rasa in your university. There would be a professor, and you would say, it would be highly unusual, isn't it? Highly unusual. So pray and ask for mercy. This is very important in spiritual understanding. Ali? My new word. Ali? In order to understand deeply, there should also be the Vedic scriptures say, if you distribute knowledge, you understand very deeply. Distribution of knowledge helps you in a mystical way to understand the knowledge which you have distributed. My dear devotees, that is one of the many reasons why I like to preach. I'm very often thinking, if no one benefits from this, at least there's one person. His name is Sachinandan Swami. He's desperately in need to understand spiritual knowledge. And I'm preaching very happily because I know there's one man in the audience who needs it very much, and he's Sachinandan Swami. Distributing the knowledge is very, very important to understand. Those who have been on Sankirtan know that when the Knigoski go out and they distribute the Knigoski, the books, in a mystical way, there is a revelation of spiritual knowledge in the heart. Have you ever noticed when you preach to someone how afterwards everything is clear? Bane, have you noticed? Yes, it is. Bhakti Granta, have you noticed? It is mystical. No one can explain how this comes that I have just given away the Knigor, or Knige, or whatever it is. And now, Knige means books. At least I believe it means this. And now you feel so enriched in spiritual knowledge. So, Maria, you can write, please, down not so good in spelling, no. Madhyanti, then write distribution of knowledge after praying. Distribution of knowledge. This is the methods how you can learn anything. Shravana, hearing, manaha, reflecting, nididhyasana, application, pray for mercy and distribute knowledge. Then you will know. It's an absolute formula. This is, by the way, up to till the line that is nididhyasana. This is from the Upanishads. And the pray and ask for mercy is from Baladev Vidyabhushana. And distribution of knowledge is also from the Upanishads. It's over hundreds and thousands of years, Atze, this has worked. Your mind was reflecting something. Very good. Gangamayi will have the last question.
It's not a question, I just want
yes.
to say that if we read something, we can only absorb about 5 to 10% information. And if we try to distribute that knowledge, we can absorb up to 90%. So that's the most powerful way of learning.
I see. That seems to be in universities we hear this.
Yes,
we hear... Yeah. Yes, I remember this list also. Thank you very much. They say what you hear, 5% of this sticks with you. But if you do something with the information, like, for instance, taking notes, this is why we take notes, and then looking the notes up, you have all of a sudden you retain, I don't know, 50% of what you have heard. It is such an increase of retaining the information. How do we say retaining the information? Zadrishate, yes, zadrishate, yes. So if we then also distribute the knowledge, speak about it, it really stays in our heart. This, what we have learned here and here, is just a matter of doing something with the spiritual knowledge, so that we just don't read it all the time. What I have done in my spiritual, read and lose it, what I do, whenever I read something interesting, I will just tell somebody. Sometimes somebody comes in my room and they have all kinds of thoughts in their mind, and I'm telling them, once Krishna played his flute and there was a dried out tree. When the tree heard Krishna's flute song, it immediately came back to life and grew some pupalnak and leaves. I tell this, and then I know I will remember it until my grave. This is how powerful it is when you do something with the information, and so on. Mm-hmm. Daksha ji,
I just want to add something.
Please.
Yes.
Thank you. Yes. We met Syama Sundara in Mumbai, and he told us about this. how very often, you know, they would think, the house is on flame or something, you know, who would ring the bell at this time of the day? Prabhupada was so enthusiastic about what he had just read that he was preaching it immediately. They were so tired. But they, what can they do? They had to listen. Yes. Dieto, what is, how to overcome the false ego, or what did he say? Our Prabhuji?
When I share information with others, I often find myself thinking, what is this my false ego? At least that is how I understood this question.
Yeah. It can well be. It can well be that we want to tell others because we think we have a need to get their attention, but obviously when it is like this, then we should correct it. It's good if you have friends in Krishna consciousness, because whatever you do with real friends is not motivated by false ego, but is usually real. So if you have good friends, then you have real communications. Even when it's sometimes difficult, the communication, but at least it is real and something can happen. With the real friends, the false ego is usually a little silent, because it knows the friends will immediately detect it and say, you're so artificial today. Good. So I think we have come to the end. Yes, we have 2 minutes still. Daksha Prabhu, did I see? No. You look also. Yes, I also look. This is the best wristwatch I've ever seen. So, yes, we have now 1 o'clock. I want to thank you very, very, very much. I think you can feel I have not even touched the, not like this. There's so many verses still left in the Bhakti Rasayana Shlokas. If you want to know the Bhakti Rasayana Shlokas or read them, they are printed. Now comes a little advertisement, and don't be shocked. In the book, The Nectar Ocean of the Holy Name, Nektarsky Ocean Svetok Imane. Yes, something like this. There at the end, I have included the Bhakti Rasayana Shlokas for your kind reading. As far as the explanation of these shlokas are concerned, I have taken them from the purports of Sanatana Goswami, which appear in the in this wonderful Brihad Bhagavatamrita. It will be printed soon. I have a preprint or pre-computer version, and I have taken the explanations from there. This book, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, is a book which Prabhupada has recommended to all of us to read if we want to know more about Krishna and devotional service. It has a blessing. By hearing and chanting this narration with devotion, or by meditating on it, any person will achieve the abode of the Supreme. This is a book. This is, I think, the best book, isn't it? If we hear about it, chant about it, or meditate about it, we will get to the abode of the Supreme. What do you think, Siameshwari? This is a, please purchase this book. I always recommend it to devotees who are in a state of their life where they would like to know more about Krishna and go deeper into Krishna consciousness. And I always tell them, read Briha Bhagavatamrita. There are jewels for you, waiting, waiting, waiting. Gopi Parana Dana. Yes, it's not his purpose. He has just taken the purpose of Sanatana Goswami. They are very, very long, and he has just put the ideas a little shorter that it's easier for us to understand, because many of them are based on a lot of Sanskrit knowledge, and we don't have this, or you know. Yes, they are Sanatana Goswami's purpose in a condensed way. The essential points have been worked out. Verses are translations, and the commentaries are condensed translations of Sanatana Goswami. It is not that Gopi Paranadana has made his own commentary. He has just faithfully stuck with Sanatana Goswami's commentary.
It's not like Rishi's case with Bhagavatam.
No. They are really, really the acharyas speaking. Just so nice. I mean, when you hear it, just so enriching. So I have made Bhakti Rasayana my own personal project in my spiritual life. I'm thinking it's so good to have this these verses and feel enlivened. I've made my own book from it. No one will be able to read it because it's my own sticking glue, my own notes. And I intend to go deeper into this understanding of the verses and so on. So I just wanted to give you a taste of Bhakti Rasayana so that you become interested to hear more about Krishna, and wanted to tell you also where you can find the Bhakti Rasayana shlokas. So I want to thank you very, very much. It was a very purifying and uplifting experience for me as a lecturer, and you were so interested and so kind-hearted. Anyways, this winter camp is for me the experience of my life, because I've never been, somehow one forgets nature when one is in the thick and thin of preaching, and then when nature all of a sudden is before your door, you see, this is a long forgotten friend. It is Krishna in the form of his cosmic Vishvarupa, and you become against, how could I forget? This is so nice. Maybe you want to take also, today we have again the afternoon free. Maybe you want to walk a little through nature, chant a little. It's very warm, even at 10 o'clock or 9 o'clock. It's warm enough, I could go and pull over. And it's very, very nice. I saw you also, Mayo. You were already with the cars. Busy with the cars. Would be nice if Krishna gives us this as a temple. Maybe we should convince Kapila to why not give, he's a rich man from USA, why not give this? And maybe, I think, Mata Yanti, you should ask them, you can tell them, you can have your seminars and we live here. Hare Krishna. Would be nice. Maya could come in here and be the housekeeper. No problem. And then Sasha and Aida give full support by giving pizzas from time to time. Good. So the highlight is this afternoon, no, this evening at 6 o'clock. Please all come and don't forget the magical box, which Sita Mataji has made so nicely for our use. Don't, Sita, if no one throws anything else in, then you must throw your question in. Good. Yeah.